All right, we are back. MVP, Clay from the Dirty South, the Warden of the Dirty, Dirty South.
And I'm the Warden of the North, where it's freezing and we get very little sleep.
And we have Aaron on with us, the Warden of Europa?
Yeah.
From across the pond.
From across the pond.
Welcome to MVP Podcast, also known as Most Valuable Photography Podcast.
Yeah, yes. Aaron Jean is on with us today, and it's really fun to have you on, Aaron. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so first of all, I want to say I'm super excited to be on again with you guys. I know the last time we did this was a while ago, but I've still been following the podcast. I love what you guys are doing, and I'm always tuning in, and you guys always have me kind of thinking and like making notes to myself when I'm on my commute. So I'm happy to be on and with you guys here again. So my name is Aaron Jean. I'm a photographer originally from Oklahoma, lived in Texas for a very long time. And now for the last 5 years, I've been living in Madrid, Spain.
Nice. So well, we have a Florida man and a Texas man, or former Texas man.
Right. Former, yeah, exactly. Former is my favorite part. Yes.
I'm glad this is not a political podcast. But
Right.
Now, Aaron, you were...
Texas is a great place to be from.
From, yeah, that's funny. So, Aaron, you were on Through My Lens with us, right? We were on Through My Lens, not on MVP, right?
Okay. Right.
No, we did, MVP.
Okay, got you. Sorry, yeah.
We did MVP all together, too.
Oh, we did MVP as well?
During COVID, during the lockdown.
Oh, okay. Because I need to go put the link.
Right, that's it, yeah.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yep.
All right, I need to also go find that link for Through My Lens, and I'll put it in the show notes, listeners, so you can check it out. Go ahead, Devon. Let's kick off our show.
Yeah, so I thought it would be cool today to talk about printing your work and also doing galleries, hosting events to actually display your work and making collections of work just to do something different, a different way to give your information, well, give your art to the people. Mm. I think Instagram and all the other digital platforms have made it where our work has become disposable and it's good for a day. And then we kind of move on to the next thing and we're not really curating our work. We're posting stuff that we think people will like, either for attention or to generate business. So I think when you do a gallery, not only is it rewarding to you, it gives people a little bit more substance to absorb, because I feel like the printed picture, whatever medium you choose to print it on, gives a totally different impact than the digital presentation. Mm-hmm. So I did a gallery this past Friday night, which was January 13th, Friday the 13th. And and the name of the gallery was appropriately called Totally Outside of My Comfort Zone. Nice. So, I chose to do, a gallery that, one, I really didn't tell anybody I was having the gallery until a week before. Mm-hmm. And two, it was a gallery of images that nobody else had ever seen because they were all self-portraits of me.
Mm-hmm. Brave.
So it was a project I worked on in secret, which was very difficult because I'm used to bouncing ideas off everybody. Mm-hmm. And it was a project that, you know, through the editing process, the printing process, everything else, I never got anybody else's opinion on it. And nobody knew anything about the gallery going on until a week before I actually hosted it. And surprisingly, it went very well. It went very well. And it's encouraging because of the way the art was received. Mm-hmm. And especially to put yourself out there and the art is actually you. It was just something to take a risk and something to kind of spark off some of the stuff we've been talking about and goals we had in 2023. It does push myself a little bit further, but I found also at the gallery before I did the reveal, I just have prints of my work throughout the years, and the amount of time people spent going through the little albums I had there was amazing, because I know they go through my Instagram in probably about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, they may have looked at each album multiple times.
Yeah.
And pulled other people over to show them their favorites and all that stuff. Whereas, and some of those same pictures were on Instagram, but I think the impact of the printed image is a little bit more impactful.
I agree. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I know Aaron has done some galleries, so I'd like to hear his experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, your hats off to you for that project. Like, I just saw it for the first time last night on Instagram, and I was like, what? He never said anything. but I think it's so, you know, like, I think it, you know, I mean, you talked about this on the podcast before, but like, becoming a photographer and being a photographer is a process, and it's not like an uphill thing. And I think that idea of withdrawing all your images from critique and creating by yourself is super powerful. Like, it's a really, I think, a really important part of the process. So hats off to you, you know, for thinking of that and actually following through it. I probably have I have a graveyard of personal projects that I'm like, I should have done better with those. So hats off for finishing it and then showing it in public.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in terms of like printing, like I agree with you 100%. And I think, you know, like, it's so easy. I just was in a workshop yesterday with, a photographer here in Madrid who does stuff for the New York Times. And that was one of the things that he spoke a lot about, is he was like, he's like, Instagram is a business tool for connection and just general helping be top of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But that his printing, and so he's like, he prints his images every 2 to 3 months.
Nice.
And then he basically, and he's like, it doesn't matter. He's like, sometimes if I have the time and the money and the energy, he'll take it to a nice printer, have it printed. Sometimes he'll send it to like the local like Fuji printer, and they'll print out a bunch of prints. And he's like, and sometimes I just print it on my personal inkjet. So he's like, I'm not precious about what the print looks like per se, but more about when I get bored or if I'm confused or frustrated, I look over to pile of images and I start looking through what I shot.
Mm.
And he was like, and then I begin to see themes. I begin to see all that. And I was like, and it just hit me, because like, that's what you do for a gallery when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he does it on a regular basis. And I was like, man, what a great idea to sharpen your mind to curate, to real curation, you know, not just your kind of marketing on Instagram or something like that. So,
sure.
Cause it doing it for your own, like for your, like, you know, for a show or whatever, like it can feel like really overwhelming, especially in the beginning, if you're not practiced to it.
Yeah, I
usually do, like I shoot film as well personally, and some professional images, but I usually do a yearly wrap up where I print just 4x6 prints of like my black and white color film, just so I have like a record and a log of each year. So I've been doing it, I think, since maybe 2018. Just, you know, simple 4x6 prints of highlights of the year. And then you can kind of go through and see, I think like Aaron was saying, you can look through a stack of images and realize like, okay, because sometimes you feel like, oh man, I suck. Like, where is this going? And then other times you're like, you don't really always remember things the way they happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good like visual reference to kind of take you back to those moments, and you know, you have like a snapshot of each thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Aaron, do you have any tips or tricks to actually the process of putting a gallery together and displaying it?
Wow. So I think the first thing is, like, if you ever get the opportunity or can create the opportunity for yourself, I really recommend it. I know it's daunting and it's hard to put yourself out there. I mean, while you're like, oh yeah, Instagram, I have all my photos on Instagram. Like you were saying, it's very different to have them in such an intimate setting, and it feels more like you feel much more vulnerable with it. But it's a great process. So I would say the first tip is do it. You know, try to make it a possibility for yourself. because it really is, like for me, it really, you know, nobody came and was like, oh, Aaron, you're so amazing. We want all of your art all over our walls. Like, it was really more of a, like a lot of networking, you know, some asking when it was uncomfortable and trying to put that together. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, you have to kind of create the opportunity yourself. I think there's a romantic view of getting it. So I think, you know, deciding to do it and then working towards it is a good idea. And then for me, once I kind of knew it was coming, I did exactly what we talked about. I printed and printed and printed and printed every single thing that I was thinking about. And I did my first round, I printed on, just my normal inkjet printer, and I printed them, you know, like four to a page, sat down and cut them all out, and then, just put them out in my living room and just looked at every single one. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did was like, which ones can I kill first? You know, which ones can I get out of the way that I love, but aren't necessarily my strongest work? So I think kind of getting used to seeing all the images and seeing what kind of pops out, because at first I wanted to do more of my street photography. But in the middle of the process, I had a couple of portrait sessions that gave me a lot to work with. And so halfway through my thing, I completely changed it. And then started like relooking at those images and what I could use, what came out in those and what else kind of worked with those. And then I think like setting with the images for a while, even as frustrating as it is, because, I mean, both short-term and long-term images change so much. I mean, how you feel, what the world is, especially these days, there's so much changing. So, an image I think has a lifetime to it. And so it can be more or less important, you know, during certain times. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, I needed to let the excitement settle of one selection and then look at it again with fresh eyes. And I added and subtracted a lot in that phase. And then I think the other part is, be prepared to get, if you haven't printed and stuff before, like getting, some good advice there, because printing is its own art form. Mm-hmm. And trying to do it for a gallery, as part of your creative expression, it can be overwhelming too. I had my images, and all of a sudden I was like, now there's an entire another world of paper and ink and, sizes and mounting. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I was so concerned with my own photography. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. So, I think getting good advice there. And I think the fourth thing would be, kind of like you mentioned before, Devon, like, you know, I wasn't brave enough to get no feedback on it, but I was also very, I mean, I think Clay, yeah. I might have shown you, right? I was like, Clay, tell me, you're my first honest critic. Tell me, is this horrible? Am I going to fail or is this good? But it was like, I think maybe three, like my wife, Clay, and then I think I may have shown it to like my brother-in-law who does photography as well. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I didn't show it to too many people. And then I showed it to the gallery host at the very, very end.
Nice.
Once I kind of vetted it. So,
yeah.
But you need, cause my wife is capable of saying, that's not a good, I don't like that. You know, like, right, I know you like that. I get it, but it's not going to be impactful the way you think. So, right.
Yeah. You need that sometimes actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, I guess that would be my first kind of top of mind, like things I would kind of consider when I'm recommending that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to piggyback off what Aaron said, I guess when you start thinking in terms of a gallery, it helps you when you lose inspiration, because you're kind of working on a collective set of images that mm-hmm. tell a story or that make a point or show things in a certain light. So I think it helps you as a photographer, as you know, you could be working on a gallery for years, mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily have to display it. So it gives you something to always, you know, it's a personal project that you're working on, but it's not a personal project that, you just give a hashtag on Instagram mm-hmm. and you start looking towards, you know, really creating images that, and powerful images that go into this gallery. For those people that are thinking, I live somewhere, that only has high end galleries, or I don't even know what, we don't have any place to display galleries. your local businesses, mm-hmm. like restaurants, are great places to have a gallery. Coffee shops. They have wall space, and they usually have generic posters or pictures up that they have been there for however long the restaurant has been there. They're just generic stuff that they put up when they first decorated. Asking to display your artwork and, you know, host a gallery there, have an event, it usually helps the local business because, one, you're beautifying their space, and two, you're probably bringing, even if you bring 15 people or 20 people to your gallery, which you may think it's small, that's 15 to 20 people that would have never come to this local business. So they'll be happy to, you know, display your art. Mm-hmm. There was one of the first galleries that I got to do was at a coffee shop, and they did it monthly. So they would have a monthly artist. And then at the end of the month, they would, before you took your work down, they let you host an event in the evening when the coffee shop was closed.
Okay, nice.
So it worked out nice. I mean, you know, it's a small coffee shop, but my work got seen by, you know, everybody going to the train and grabbing their coffee in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to do it. You can also find, like, local community space. And a lot of this, like Aaron said, it's kind of just about asking. You know, if you don't ask, the answer is no.
Yeah.
But, you know, even bigger businesses that have large entryways, you may be at, you know, you could put it in the lobby of, you know, your local medical office. So there's a lot of different options. Yep.
My upcoming full nude project from you know, self portraits.
We're currently trying to shut that down, but that is not any type of valuable photography. That's oh man, that is the most unvaluable photography that exists today. But, no,
I might have one fan, but yeah, you're right.
yeah. And you look at him in the mirror every morning. Yeah.
Exactly. I did see a self-portrait.
There you go.
Right.
Click a selfie. You take my project to a whole other level. Wow. That's awesome. But, yeah, so I think Aaron touched on some good points about, you know, actually getting the work displayed, because there's a lot of options mm-hmm. as far as printing. So you can print on a lot of different surfaces. You can print on canvas. You can print on paper, but there's a bunch of different types of paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have fine art paper. They have glossy. They have matte. They have...
What did you use, by the way, for this last one?
I use Epson printer, so I use Epson's velvet paper, mm-hmm. which is like a fine art matte paper, pretty okay. thick. I chose that one because of I had the gallery actually in my studio,
mm-hmm.
and I was worried about the lights being on and reflecting off of the images if I use glossy paper.
Yeah.
So the matte. The way it printed, it still had some sheen to it, but the lights didn't reflect off of it.
Okay.
So that's one thing I hate when you go into museums and stuff and they have photography and the way they do the lights, just like they would do a painting.
Yeah,
and then all weird. You see is reflections of the lights. Yeah. And I'm like, man, this is like the museum and this is how they displayed it.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, so... But there's also other, you can print, like make acrylic prints. You can print on metal.
Mm-hmm.
You can even print on wood now.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get pricey, but you can also do it very cost effectively. I mean, you could probably spend tens of thousands mm-hmm. and you could spend maybe $100 and get your stuff printed. So, I think it's about, you know, and like we were talking about, like the time is now. It's not about making excuses. It's just tons of ways to get it done if you really want to do it.
Just get it done.
And I think if you like when I did this gallery, I was thinking about, and the invitation list was a private, I didn't put it out to the public. Like you guys got to see it after people started posting it on their stories and stuff. And the whole idea was to do it small so I can get some feedback. And the biggest feedback was, you know, we love it. You should do it bigger.
Bigger.
You know? So, yeah. So bigger event, bigger prints. Oh. Like this is really good stuff. So,
nice.
You know, that was encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
I also, you know, I think that was the biggest critique. It was that I printed them too small.
And what size is this?
Well, because I didn't want anybody to see it, everything was printed on 17 by 22.
Okay.
So, but I think people wanted to see like, you know, 48.
But these are non-photographer prints. People who are saying this or some photographers as well.
Both. Okay. I think because they like them, bigger is always better.
Is it though?
I asked my wife, but no. No. I couldn't let that one go. I'm sorry guys. It was just too easy.
It was teed up.
Yeah. It's like we're a great team. I think because of the way people are used to seeing things displayed,
mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's reference is a museum, and most things in museums are really big. So I think it was just they wanted to see like a bigger. I mean, they loved it, but yeah. I think they wanted a bigger impact of.
Because I saw the sizes, and I thought the sizes to me. But the thing is that like I like kind of intimate things, right? And the sizes were to me were intimate, so. I think
yeah. I mean, it was an intimate gathering.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was a fitting theme, a fitting size for the theme, I think.
Yeah. So I think I do plan to print, like I said, like, so I got that one done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more of the friends, family, close clients, you know, and people I'm associated with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do something bigger prints. You know, you'll see it all over Instagram and, you know, have people come out for that. Because the other thing is like you send an invitation late and, you know, people actually really do come out and have more people than we expected. So it just gives you an idea of how you should actually do this, because I'm not experienced in doing galleries on my own or... Usually in the past, my galleries were associated with other events going on,
mm-hmm.
you know? So we used to have, the town I had my studio in would do a yearly art walk
mm-hmm.
where outside. Artists would come into local businesses.
Oh, and, okay. Local business. Okay.
Yeah. So they would have artists and local businesses, and the whole idea is like you walk around the shopping area and you go and you, see art throughout the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So I will always do it in conjunction with that. And it was, you know, people were just coming to look at art and look at everybody's art. So it wasn't just mine in particular.
Okay.
You know, I was just another destination on the little map.
Mm-hmm. Do you invite people like you do for your personal one to something like that? Or
yeah, I mean, that was like more like a general public. Hey,
yeah.
The town is having the annual art walk. Come through. I'm doing this. And I'll have... And I've always done my galleries mm-hmm. with other people.
Okay.
So it's always been me and like somebody who paints and me and somebody who does graffiti. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so it was never just me and just my work,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think just doing something that people haven't seen from me ever. You know, I do a lot of portraits, so I'm like, you know, I can do portraits in my sleep, but doing portraits of yourself,
it's
quite brave. It was a little scary, and a lot easier to do in my head than the actual application of getting it done.
Right.
What would you say, Aaron, is some things you came across that you might want to warn people about, like just give them a heads up, like, hey, if you're going to do this, maybe look out for that. Like some things that, cause that's, you know, usually the information that we want. It's all good to be encouraged, right, and everything else, but it's like, oh yeah. Cause I'll let you go first, but there's quite a few things that I went through. I was like, oh, okay. I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't a good idea.
Right. Right. I think having a clear vision of, so there's your artistic vision, but then like you, the artistic part was the creation, right? Like you made your portraits. So the second half of it is, why are you having this exhibition? Is it just because you wanted to show it, or is it part of your business plan as a professional photographer? Do you want to delve into the art market? So I think kind of understanding what you want to do there, and then also having, I wish I had had a plan for image sales, and I was more thoughtful about, because like really what I wanted to do is I wanted to show it, but I also wanted people to buy it. And I thought too small in the very beginning. And so I showed up with a bunch of prints that I printed on, at a local printer. Like it was nice, but they weren't like true art prints. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately had people who would have probably spent $1,000 to a couple of thousand on it, and I had a print for like 50 euros, and I was like, oh dang.
Yeah. Mm.
And that happened, like the first three people I spoke to, that happened, and I had one person there that collects art and was serious about it, and then I think once they recognized that, it was like, okay, he's, you know, this is a lower end art thing, that I kind of shot myself in the foot. So I wish I had had a plan in place to sell those pieces that night. Because to my credit, just like you're saying, I mean, I contacted every single person I knew, and I'd only been in Madrid maybe 2 years at that point, but I like really used it as an opportunity to get people to come and see my work. So, the space owner was like, he was like, oh, let me know if you have something else. Cause he was like, this is by far the best event we've ever had. He was like, cause I mean, we literally had a line out the door of people.
Nice.
We did have like gin and tonics and like some other stuff there. So
hey, there you go.
It wasn't the pure pool of my art, but, you know, but it was a good event. So I wish I had thought bigger about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of, we talked about before the printing, I wish I had started thinking earlier, because I mean, honestly, I just wasn't very sophisticated in what I was thinking about. And once I got into it, because I mean, you guys know with my stuff, my work is usually pretty contrasty. I have really dark darks.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to kind of work with a local printer who was great, and helped me a lot. But I had to spend some extra time there that I didn't plan on. So I ended up rushing my decision-making a little bit on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like told the printer, I was like, it's on Thursday. I show up like Monday morning and I'm like, it's Thursday and I have, you know, 30 prints. Can you help me? And he was like, oh God, you know? and I didn't know him well, so it wasn't like I could push him. So
yeah, yeah.
I wish I had planned on that a little bit. I did learn a lot. So like in the end, I got that out of it.
Mm-hmm.
What else would I say? I would say kind of a warning. I feel like I did a good job of it, but I think having fun and enjoying it,
right.
Because it, like you were saying, you know, like even with paid clients, I mean, I get a lot of clients that'll be like, oh my God, I love the photos. Thank you so much. But a lot of people, I think, say that in their head and then they move on with their lives, you know? So you spend an intimate 3 or 4 hours with people or with a makeup artist and you're doing something like more artistic, you know, for a show. And then you put on Instagram and you get, you know, fire, 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 like 100 likes, mm-hmm. a reshare, and then it's gone, you know? And so to really watch, like you were saying, Devon, like to watch people go back to a photo,
mm-hmm.
and then step closer and then step away and then pull out their phone and take a picture and then somebody else come and have a conversation. Like it was by far the most rewarding, like 3.5 hours of my photography career. Cause I got a real sense of what the images were doing out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you know, we create in the dark, literally, you know, like we take darkness and we put light. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was really cool. And it hit me in the middle of it. I was like, okay, this is really cool. So it's easy to get overwhelmed with it. And I had some help there so that I wasn't the one like moving things and trying to sell some portraits and all that. Like I, my job when I got there was to just enjoy. So I'm glad I took that step.
Yeah.
Right. Awesome. Like, yeah. After years of doing events, I was like, okay, I know that I need someone else in charge besides me. You know, I think giving yourself time and permission to change your mind, because it's like the, you know, the sunk cost fallacy, you know, it's like you, like for me, I spent, you know, weeks and I had kind of an idea in my mind and I changed at the last minute. And I'm so glad I did, even though I was like, oh my God, am I crazy? So I think, you know, letting the creation process take place and not being kind of overwhelmed with what people should expect, but more of like, this is what's important to me. This is what I want to show. Prepare a budget. Like I got caught because like I had a financial agreement with the people. We basically split the cost. They had the place and then I provided all the images and then we split the cost of the entertaining. And we had they had a drink sponsor and some other stuff, so the costs were pretty low, but it was still, you know, printing 35 images and then like paying for entertainment for, you know, 200 people was kind of like something I didn't expect. My goal was to get it back, but I'm not sure I recouped all my stuff plus a profit on that. So I think preparing a budget and being realistic with yourself about that. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. I feel like that's probably a lot to give people pause.
But you know what? It's, I mean, I even learned something from you. It's kind of like, you know, I think the idea that people are going to want to buy this stuff should be at the forefront of your head. And you should have a price ready. Because the worst thing is like, well, how much is that? And kind of have the options. I would say if you're doing a gallery, I would do a limited number of prints and up the price. You know, so if you do one of 10, one of 20, people feel like, okay, this is special because this is it. But then you can up the price because this is it. You know,
but you have to mean it though when you say this is
no.
It.
Yeah, you do that. You really have to mean it. You can't say this is one of 20.
It's funny. Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend of mine, a kind of a mentor that, I talked to too late about this and he works with people who sell their photos for, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to hotels and other stuff. And the fine art market is, you know, like a lot of things, it's very counterintuitive. And he was like, basically he's like, there's two ways. You can sell everything for €50, right? Or $50 or whatever. But he was like, but if you are trying to make it a special thing, a special event for people, he was like, the people who are going to pay, they want something special. And if it's $200, it may be like, yeah, sweet. I can pay my part of my studio rent with that. But he was like, it needs to be 2000 or 3000 because he was like, the person that's going to put that on their wall doesn't want it on 50 other walls. And they don't want people to be like, oh yeah, I saw that print. That was $100 at Aaron's gallery opening. Like when people put it up, there's the artistic value of it that it moves people enough to purchase it. But there's also the person who buys art and puts it on their wall or collects photography expects more. You know, they expect the, like you were saying, Devon, they expect that there's only 20 of them, that there are only 20 other people that are ever going to see what you see when you wake up and walk into your office or your living room. So that was, that shocked me because I was thinking hundreds and my friend was like, you need to be thinking thousands at a minimum.
It's crazy because it's almost like if it's too cheap, people don't want it.
Right. That's 100% it. Yes.
Yeah. Because they don't want something, like you said, that anybody else can get. It's like the like for sneakerheads, it's like the limited sneaker drop. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this is going to be it. I got to stand in line all night so I can get these new Jordans.
Yeah.
It's like, but if they're the Jordans, you can just go exactly. to it's the local sneaker store and get. Nobody wants them. You know, it's like, nah, those are cool, but these, you know, that I'm going to pay, you know, five times the resale price on a reseller site just because I want to be the one person that has it. It's the same way people think about your art.
Exactly.
They may think it's even better because it costs more. You know, it's like, oh man,
yes.
his photography was, you know, there was 5,000 for a print. It was crazy. It was amazing. It went from good to amazing when they saw the price.
Right.
So
right, and yeah, then one person buys it, and then you're the $5,000 photographer.
Yes, yes, and then now you've set a standard that people need to. I mean, I guess it's the same thing that I tell photographers when they're charging. Like, you can make more, just charge more. You know, if you charge more for your services, people may think they're better because you may be doing the same thing another photographer. But if he's charging $100 and you're charging $1,000, they're gonna be like, wait a minute, what's he doing for $1,000? I want to see what the thousand's all about. So same thing with your prints and stuff. And it's a good, I think it's a good sustainable way to add, you know, I know we're not talking about the business of photography, but it's a good way to add some sustainability to, your photography as a business, because, you know, it's one of those things that you don't have to be, physically doing it or there to make sales. I mean, you can set up a website where people can order and you can make money while you sleep. Yeah. I'm trying to think of
the best kind.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else I ran into. I guess one of the bigger things is don't overthink it, because you can talk yourself out of a lot of things. I think budget is a big one. I'm kind of having an idea of the end product when you go into it. So like, okay, these are going to be this size print. Each print is going to cost me this. And then I guess if you're working on it, it'll tell you, dictate which way you should shoot and how you should shoot, because you'll be thinking about how it'll be printed. So if it's, you know, how you, even down to how you light your sessions. So things aren't, because when you print things, they look different. So, you know, if you have sometimes really dark, dark blacks don't show up in prints. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and sometimes you get away with stuff in prints that you don't get away with in digital. So like grainy pictures don't look as grainy when you print them. Mm-hmm. Like some of the grain just smooths out
it because
of
the way the ink. Sometimes.
Yeah, you know, the grain is good, but it looks different. Grain looks bad digitally, but I think it looks, we're used to looking at it in photographs, you know, like printed material. So that's something to think about. And I guess, you know, working with somebody that knows how to do events, it's good. My wife is very good at food. And displaying food and preparing like enough food for the amount of guests that are coming. So that is the only thing that I outsourced. I don't know if it's really outsourcing. It was kind of insourcing in my house, but out to her to do the food, you know? So that's the only thing I ran by somebody else for this gallery was like, all right, what do you think we should have? You know, she's like, oh, but you need to have something, you need a vegan option, you need a gluten-free option, things I would never think about. You know, if it was me, everybody would have got like chips and pizza. That would have been it. But, you know, to have like a spread with, you know, easy to pick up finger food and stuff was really good. And I think it added to the gallery. And I think I guess these are more tips. I think the more don't, because the first gallery, there was no anticipation, you know? So I think definitely make sure you have some anticipation or a big reveal or something throughout the night that, helps. Cause I find like when I did galleries before, people would walk in, they would walk around the room, they would see the stuff and then that's kind of it. But I find when you hold something, like when I did this gallery, when everybody walked in, all the artwork was covered up. So they had to wait for the big reveal. And I think just naturally, it's like how we think about Christmas. It's like, yeah, Christmas morning is the big reveal. And we anticipate that the whole month of December and then we get the big reveal. It's the same thing when people come to visit your gallery. If you have some sort of big reveal where maybe they see half the images and then you have the ones you think are, you know, your top 10 are covered up. And you do like a big reveal to just build up some anticipation and let people know like, oh, this is the first seeing of this so they can feel special. Mm-hmm. And if you want to put your little QR code on the bottom, that'd be great so people could buy your prints. Another thing that I did at this show that really changed the impact of the way people viewed the images was I had, similar to you do when you go to a museum, it had a description and a meaning behind the photo and why I took it and why I chose this image and why, you know, what it meant to me. And I think people really looked at the images differently. I mean, they liked them, but I think some people went to love them once they read the description. So having some short blurb about the image, how it was derived, either the creation process or the meaning behind the image, I think really helps to sell it, you know, both monetarily and emotionally.
Nice.
So, yeah, print your work.
One other thing I would add to the train of thinking is like having a planned post gallery opening, because I got like you're basically building momentum for your work, and so like connecting with people there and posting about it afterwards and allowing other people who weren't there to come, mm-hmm. you know, if the gallery is going to be open, mm-hmm. to come do it. And like, I had a couple of friends and I was like, I'm sorry you couldn't make it. Let's, you know, go on Saturday and I'll, you know, take you through the gallery yourself or myself. And so, kind of doing that. And from that, I potentially had a few people that were going to buy some prints afterwards. And then we had COVID. So everybody, we were not allowed to see anybody in person for a while.
Yeah.
And so some of the momentum, I noticed this because the momentum really changed and I had momentum and then I didn't. And so I was like, ooh, like that's something that if I were to do it again, I would really have a plan for the momentum post exhibit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's always a good idea. Like have the kind of like the grand opening, but maybe if it's in a space, encourage it, either you can send people there or you can encourage people to meet you there. You know, if it's at the coffee house, you could just meet them at the coffee house. And let them know how long it's going to be displayed. So set like, again, it's the anticipation and the, you want people to feel like, okay, I got to see this or I'll miss it, you know? So, that's always a good thing. I think also doing something that's exclusive, I think that really worked for me, that everybody wasn't invited, you know? So then, you know, this is where you can use social media for what social media is very impactful for. People feel like they missed out. So now I feel like when I do something again, people will be looking like, oh man, I missed the last one and it looked good. So, and that was exclusive. So now if I'm able to come to this one, I don't want to miss out. So, yeah, like I said, I think anticipation, just as if, the same way we look at movies and are like, oh man, this looks, you know, the trailer. Mm-hmm. I think you need to do some trailers for your show. And just having enough information, I think that's what artists tend not to do, is have enough information for the viewer. So they need to know, okay, like if you're doing a posting, when is the gallery open? All right, am I able to see it? Will it be up? Like, or having all those questions answered ahead of time, I think is a good thing. Like, just having all the information available. You know, and if you're trying to sell prints, that's something I wasn't ready to answer. I wasn't prepared for people to be like, are you selling these? And I'm like, I just thought you guys were coming to look. You know, yeah. I wasn't ready to make a sale. I thought they were just coming to look. So,
I'll always be closing.
I know I'm like that with other right. stuff, but this, I was so, it was such a personal thing. I mean, like they're pictures of me. So I'm like, like I didn't think people were going to be like, you know, I mean, I think I look okay, but you know, people were like, oh, I don't really want to buy that, you know? So I think, yeah, be ready for all of that, all of the potential things that may come out of it. And also be ready if somebody would like to invite you to do it in their space, you know, and think about being open to that. But yeah, I think we gave the people some good jewels for, and I hope some encouragement to do it in a gallery, because it is very rewarding. It could be very rewarding monetarily, but I think it's super rewarding as an artist.
So the thing is that, do you not have anything set up right now for post the show for people to buy? Do you have like a link to your site or something for the
for
print?
Me? I don't, because the whole idea with doing this one, kind of more of an intimate friends and family post people, mm-hmm. was to be able to gauge how a bigger gallery would work,
okay.
whether I did it at my location or found a bigger location to kind of do like a more grandiose thing where I actually invited the public out, try to do the press release, all that stuff to get people to really come out and support your boy. So I wasn't I wasn't really prepared or looking towards like this being an event where I'm going to like make sales and do all that stuff.
But I take it you will change your position on this for the next one.
Oh, most definitely. There will be some $5,000 pieces in there. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Do it.
Oh, yeah, nah, definitely.
What about your prints, Aaron? Do you have any place for the ones that were at your exhibit for selling posts?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just thinking about that right before you asked the question earlier. So I gave a lot of the portraits in mine were people that I had worked with, mm-hmm. That were either clients or collaborators. And so a lot of them, I gave them their print. Mm. And because a lot of them weren't prints that people would particularly buy, but they represented the kind of rest of the work that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave a lot of people those. And I thought I had several of the prints there sold, but just post COVID things kind of fell through a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of them sitting in my living room. And I just went through and took some of the prints out of the frame,
mm-hmm.
About a month ago, just before Christmas. Cause I was like, I need space to move around.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still have them for sale on my website. So I'm hoping, potentially I could do that. Unfortunately, I had one accident in transit, and so I have a small smudge on one of the really big prints.
Mm.
I'm very, very bummed about that because I can't sell it for the price I want with a blemish. So I was like, oof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know with you guys are helping or building sites for people, right? When you're doing your site, do you or will you in the future have a physical and online presence for people to say, hey, listen, if you're not buying it now, here's a link or a QR code to scan to buy it and have it shipped to your house? Or
yeah,
I mean, do you guys think about stuff like that when you're doing, or will you be thinking about stuff
yeah.
like that?
Yeah, I use SmugMug, which is a photo hosting site,
mm-hmm.
and I use it for my clients, so they are able to buy any prints
right
on there.
Directly. Yeah. But what about your exhibit, though?
My exhibit will probably be a little more controlled. I have something on my site, uh-huh. because I would have to control the printing, because
mm-hmm.
I think people will want you want high quality prints,
true.
Like mm-hmm. You want gallery quality and you want fine art paper and however I choose to display them,
mm-hmm.
because I'm really thinking about doing acrylics.
Okay.
So the prints may be, there may be one, like a one of one that's really big,
mm-hmm.
and then you can buy, a smaller, acrylic print. So I would have to control that process. So I wouldn't want to like general prints that people want of their, family photos. I don't mind like people printing them out on SmugMug, mm-hmm. because they're good. They do very good work. But my art, I would want to control. So that would be probably directly through my website. And people could buy it there. Or either I would do that or I would sell them directly at my studio. Like you could just come pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Do something like that.
Yeah, I agree completely. Like for some of the like the individual ones that people buy from sessions, I do like same as Devon. I would allow people to buy them on the site, but for this one, and I actually redid my whole website. I switched from a photo website I was on to Shopify so that I could try to kind of build like a true online shop for that. Mm-hmm. In addition to some of the like my session work and all that kind of stuff. So I really tried to develop an online plan for that because a lot of my network is still in the United States, mm-hmm. but I'm here in Spain. And so I was trying to kind of build a little bit of an online presence with that as well. So
how is Shopify working for you?
You know, I've always loved Shopify. Mm-hmm. The thing I've got is like, it's more expensive to like keep up, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do. I like it. I like the flexibility of it. Mm-hmm. I've been doing websites enough that I can do most of the stuff I need to do myself. But I also now I need to kind of switch a little bit, which is a whole different podcast. But mm-hmm. I need to kind of redo my portfolio and have more of a traditional portfolio site for some of the commercial work I want to do. And then maybe redesign for some of the in-person work I do, kind of redesign more of a true like sales page. So Shopify may be kind of in the middle of where I need to be, and we'll see if it lasts the year.
I see. Okay. I have a question. I've sort of thought and questioned the idea of the one of one, or let's say one of 10, right? Print. You have, you have the exhibit, you have, let's go exclusive, one of one, right? This is like a 5,000 piece, right? Why could we not attach additional prints for, you know, the average person and say, okay, this one of one is, you know, 20 by 20. And the $50 print is 4x6 or 4x4. Let's keep it the same ratio. You could actually have 100 people be interested in buying the $20 or $50 piece. Why could we not have both arenas itched?
I think mm-hmm. it's the exclusivity and the value of the bigger print.
Right, like, right. But like usually when you have something that's if it's something that is limited, a lot of times, mm-hmm. if you see authors who are selling something limited, they actually do. So they have the limited, which is like high quality, you know, specific size. And then they also have smaller for people who would like to have at least like a postcard of the print, right? You could actually make out more and have someone have a souvenir as well. But the souvenir is not something you hand it out for free. They actually pay for it. And it's not like you're handing it at a loss, you'd be handing it at, you know, right? I mean, how much is it going to cost for, you know, a 20 by 20, it costs nothing to print, really, right?
Yeah, well, I guess the thing for me would be when you say that there's only these 10.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to caveat. You have to say, there's only these 10 at this quality, at this size.
Yeah, but I think it knocks it down a little bit when somebody else can have it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it just it's not as exclusive if there's other stuff out there like it. Mm. You know, I mean, it, even though it's just, if people know that there's just one of 10 mm-hmm. and that's it, like you have to get these one of 10, there's no other option. And I could do other stuff that's in a price point for everybody, mm-hmm. but if I'm going to do like a one of 10, that's going to be it.
Okay.
Like you have to get one of these 10 because I think it makes it more, like Aaron was saying, it makes it more special to the buyer. Like they feel like, okay, there's only going to be, if you want to see this, mm-hmm. it's going to be me, depending on how many I buy, mm-hmm. it's going to be me and maybe 9 other people that have this hanging somewhere. Like nobody else is going to have it on their desk. Like you're not going to say like, oh yeah, walk by Clay's desk and be like, oh yeah, I saw that at Aaron's house. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like,
right,
no.
Right. Oh, I have a postcard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah. Like there's no other. So it's like, yeah, either you had the privilege of going to Aaron's house or you're not going to see it, mm. you know? And I think that's what collectors want. you know, and people who aren't collectors, you know, maybe I'll have something else that they can get. But there's some, like from the last gallery I did, there's some that I know are definitely going to be like limited because they got too big of a reaction. So I don't think it'd be something. And then there were other ones that people liked that I could be like, okay, I can make, you know, 4x6s or postcard sizes of these that people may just want to want, mm-hmm. may get and put on their desk or stick it on their fridge or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I think you need to have that exclusivity, limited edition for people to be drawn to it, especially if you're going to try to charge a higher price point.
I think you should A/B yeah. test it. I think you have a print, right? That let's say what size are we thinking here? What size is the big print you want to think of?
Who, for me?
Yeah, when you're doing the next,
I'm probably gonna go at least 48 wide.
Okay, so let's say 48 wide, $4,000, mm-hmm. right? And then that same print have it. So 48 wide, 5 of 5, right? There's only one of five, and you know, all the way to five, right? Five pieces, and then mm-hmm. have a size that is, let's say, 16 wide. No, smaller. Let's say 12 wide, right? And mm-hmm. that is a $50 piece. And then have another image that is completely just five pieces, and it's the same 48 wide, and see how the two pairs compared to each other. Like how do you sell? Like if you had 100 pieces of the you know, $50 pieces selling just as much and still having the big piece sell, and how does it compare to the other one that has no smaller pieces to it? I'd imagine that you'd probably sell equal amounts of the big ones regardless of if you had smaller pieces.
What I would probably end up doing, I probably wouldn't do that. I think what I would probably do is I would do the larger pieces that are limited, mm-hmm. and then maybe I would do like a zine of the gallery.
Yeah, that would be it. Yeah.
You know,
like that.
So
yeah.
You could get a zine that, you know, something small that has all the prints in it with the description, maybe a story about the gallery in it, and you could get that. You could buy that.
I like that.
You know,
idea.
If you want to take home something else, because for me, I really like the idea, even as an artist, that there's just these 10 out there.
Okay.
You know, okay. You just these 10 out there, and, you know, I keep one for myself and the other 9 other people have.
Okay.
You know, something like that, and that'll be it throughout history. Like, there'll be no more. But yeah, I would definitely do like a zine so people can keep the story, mm-hmm. you know, people could,
and a zine is something sold.
The zine would be sold. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
The zine would be something sold that, hey, you know, if you want to, you know, you don't want to buy a print, but maybe buy the zine for $20 or $40 or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, depending on how nice it is. And then you can take home the, you know, the evening and the experience with you too. You know, it's like, you can buy the program. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, to go to an event and like, oh, we're selling programs. You can buy the program and you can have all the information about the event. But some of the other stuff that was at the event, you can never afford, but you can take it home and show people and still experience it and look back at it.
Mm-hmm. Aaron?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of what I did with mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my thought with that is, I did, this happened like after the event. So before the exhibition, I wasn't this sophisticated. I mean, I knew I wanted to do a zine, and I did an e-zine and then also a printed one. Mm-hmm. And then once I got there and saw that people would actually potentially want to buy the bigger prints, I went that direction. And so I'm no expert in this. And so, I wouldn't offer this as I would offer this as my version of the experiment and kind of what I was comfortable with, but I did each of the, I kind of rated them. So I know there are a couple images that are like my favorite images that I've ever taken. And I know that they have value above and beyond just being printed. And so part of what I was thinking was this could be an image that I think has a lifetime to it. And so would I want to sell rights to that image for $5,000 or $3,000 or something. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that those specifically are ones that I have plans for and I think have a life. And then the ones that I think are just really powerful images, but that may or may not have a longer life to them, I kind of offer those at not a lower price, but at a, you know, I think, I can't remember what I did my pricing. I think I did three sizes. And I think the most expensive one, so I did a 30 by 40 centimeter for 500, a 40 by 54 for 900, and then a 70 by 95 for 1500.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So even then I kind of went lower than I would advise myself now.
Yeah.
I may have to up those prices quick.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I did 25 of each size. And so I would probably, if I were to redo it now, I would probably do less of that. Mm-hmm. But at the time I wasn't confident enough that having 10 alone would be the right value for the money. So, but I think that's a good way to, like you were saying, Clay, like I had a lot of people that wanted to support me and that I knew were just not $1,000 on the wall photo buyers. Mm-hmm. But we're like, how can I support you? Mm-hmm. How can I support you in this? And it's like, you could buy the zine that would help me and support me, and you get to kind of keep a memory of this. And so that was a somewhat successful strategy for me.
Yeah, yeah. I have the zine, and yeah, that was a good way. I mean, especially for people who were overseas, right? Like they couldn't be there, and it was a
right,
good,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I will say, too, that, you know, there's two ways to think of it. And this was how it was explained to me, is like there's a mental and a physical cost to doing prints. And so let's say you have great prints, you offer them at a great price, you really hit the value, and you're going to do, you know, $100 prints of this thing. Just the business management cost of that is a lot. Mm-hmm. The delivery cost becomes a lot. Managing quality control of 500 prints. And so I think you all also have to look at the economics of, you know, if you can sell one over 5 years for $5,000, or you could sell, how many would you have to sell at 50 to do that? And how much work is in between the two, mm-hmm. and what your business model is. I mean, maybe you love doing little prints and like, so that fits right in line with you. But for me, a couple of people I know that sell prints mm-hmm. have those issues of like getting it printed in time, getting it posted correctly, making sure that it doesn't get damaged in transit. If somebody wants to work with a framer, trying to do that. So it becomes like a relationship, and at $1,500, that's a relationship I'm willing to enter in with a customer. But at 25 to 50, it's kind of like, oh, geez, this is the third print. It's, you know, there's something wrong with the printer at this particular printer or something. So I think it's important to think about what your kind of costs are going to be, like time, energy, and attention. For trying to move a bunch of inexpensive prints.
True. All right. Any final thoughts or, you know, feedback on your experience, Devon?
I think there were a lot of times where I punked out and I wasn't going to do this. So I think it's really about just do it.
Yeah.
It's very
just do
rewarding.
It. Is this Nike?
Yeah, well, we're if Nike would like to sponsor this podcast,
we'll take your money.
We'll take your money. No, you know, it's one of those things, and you can do, I mean, and keep it simple. You can do a gallery at your home for your friends and family, you know, print out your work, hang it on the wall. You can go, you don't even have to do anything you can go to the local, CVS or whatever, your drugstore or local photo store, and print them. Prints can be as cheap as like 25 cents each. Mm-hmm. So I don't think cost is really an inhibiting factor. But, you know, if you're nervous about it, print them out, put them on the wall, let your friends and family come by, do a little presentation, and you can get your feet wet that way. So there's less reasons to start and a ton of reasons to do it. And I highly encourage it for all photographers. If you do it once, it's well worth it.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Aaron?
Are you encouraging Clay to actually go through with his full moon exhibition? Uh-oh. Like, that's what I'm hearing here. I don't know. I want to be
that's
clear.
That's going to be a whole other. That's a whole. We have to sit down. I told him I'm getting with his wife. We're having an intervention. This has to stop. This has to stop. I owe it. This is my contribution to mankind, is shutting down this project.
Stop. Project, stop full moon. Stop. Yeah. No, for me, like I 100% agree with Devon on that. I mean, I think it's no matter where you're at in your photography journey, I think it's a good place to go, because no matter what, it's going to be rewarding, because you're sharing something that's personal to you and it's an artistic expression. And there are going to be people out there that are going to respond to that. But I think it's also good as an artist journey to the curation project is so important. And I think Instagram really kind of changes how we think about our work and how we think about photographs and our journey. And so I think this is a great concrete way to know who you are and where you're at. And like, kind of like you were saying, Devon, it answered questions that I didn't really know that I was going to get answered during that process. Like, how are people interested in this? How do they approach it? How do they feel about interacting with the images? And then looking at certain images that I thought were really cool images, and then when they're printed and larger, I was like, wow, this is a very different image. And so I think you get to experience your own work in a different way. So I on every single level, there's 1,000 reasons to do it. And the only ones that would say don't do it or all ego. So that's it. Let go of the ego and, yes, and move forward. You know, yeah, that's the only way.
For both of you, when a printed image, so let's say you have your 4x6s, right? You're going through and looking at everything. Did an image make it to the bigger size and get nixed there?
I think I cut mine down during the, kind of like during the editing process. So after I shot the stuff and I was looking, I was kind of like seeing what fit and what really told the story. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the gallery ended up being 8 images, but I initially had maybe 15.
Okay.
So I think during the editing process, I chopped a lot of stuff.
Okay. But nothing got to a print and you're like, snap, that just doesn't work.
No, the prints actually made me more confident.
Okay.
So once I had it printed and I saw how it looked printed, I was like, oh, okay, this will work. You know, because again, I was talking myself out of this probably up until the prints were done and mounted. Mm. But once I was done with the prints, I was like, these look good. Okay. So, and it had a different impact than looking at them on the screen. Mm-hmm. You know, and like Aaron said, luckily I was printing at home, mm-hmm, but the printing process can be difficult, because I realized, like I said, like some of the darks didn't translate the way they did on the screen. Mm-hmm. So I was getting like, you couldn't see the detail I wanted you to see. So I had to make adjustments to the files and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think my editing process is usually like where I chop everything.
Okay. Yeah. And Aaron?
Actually, I had a couple that I had printed that did end up not getting shown, primarily because, the ones that I had were on a white backdrop. And so I did some post-processing to remove the backdrop and change the color. Mm-hmm. And so I had some issues with hair and with, I think there were certain parts of the clothing in a couple of the images that, even though I shot on a medium format camera, so it wasn't a resolution issue, mm-hmm, but with the colors that I used in the photo and then some of the editing and changing the background, it just, once it got bigger, the editing was obvious. And so I was like, ooh, that's an image that died really quickly with a bigger print, mm-hmm, that I still love as on a smaller scale. But, yeah, I mean, it's like, exactly like Devon said, I shoot a lot of darker shadows. I did a lot. I had to change that a lot because you want, on the screen, you can see the detail, but when you printed it, you couldn't. Mm-hmm. And then I also had a couple of like facial retouching and stuff. So your retouching is very different from a screen retouch versus a print retouch. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of of images. I had to go back and kind of retouch for that. So yeah, things aren't always better in print. Yeah, There definitely is a downside of realizing the level of your retouching and your comfortability with screen images.
So it has this exhibit that you did that sort of help you change, or did that sort of morph the way you edit for anything in the future? Thinking about exhibits, maybe.
Yeah. It really did. It was a good wake up. Mm-hmm. To not just think about screen retouching when I'm retouching, because it's easy to just do that. And there's sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll just, clone this out real quick. Mm-hmm. But now I'm a lot more conscientious about exactly how I clone it. And is there another way to do it? And I also sometimes, if I know it's a good image or I know what I'm going for, I'll just reshoot it until I can get a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Like there's certain shadows I'll reshoot now. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So yeah, I mean, it definitely changed the way I do stuff. It made me recognize some issues with my photography. So it was a good dose of ego too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let me say one thing that will help everybody that's going to print. Mm-hmm. Sensor dust.
Yeah.
Sensor dust. Sensor dust. You will not see it on your screen. It will be blaring at you once you make a print.
Yeah.
Most programs have something where you can visualize the dust that you can't see, or set the contrast really high so you can see the sensor dust. You will be amazed at how it will ruin an image that looked perfect on your screen when you go to print it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sensor dust is is the devil's dust. Mm-hmm. It's just awful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this might be a good place to wrap up. Yep. Aaron, at the end of the show, we tell people where they can find us. So where can they find you?
I'm in Madrid, Spain. No, I'm just kidding. You can find everything on Aaron Jean Photography. So I have Aaron Jean Photography on Instagram, and then also my website, aaronjeanphotography.com. And yeah, from there, you can have all my links for my newsletter. I don't do that much on Twitter anymore. But you can have like LinkedIn and that kind of stuff. So that's where you can find me.
Do you have,
if you're in Madrid, come shoot with me.
Yeah. Do you have your,
we're coming.
Yes, we're coming. Do you don't have a link to your website building stuff on here?
Oh, so I do. I'm working on that right now. I have too many brands. And so my goal in the next couple of months is to cohesively integrate all of the things I do. Mm. So there is, so my wife and I have a business called the New Antiquarian Studios, or TNQ Studios. And I think if you scroll down my homepage, I invite those who have gotten far enough to know that we can. Yep. So towards the bottom of my homepage, mm-hmm. It's TNQ Studios, a visual agency. And so that's for any of my clients that, especially brand clients or whatever, that want help integrating their photography or their images or whatever with their brand. So infographics, podcast covers, social media graphics, that kind of thing.
Nice.
You can also find us there at tnqstudios.com.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah, I see here the link. Okay, cool. Cool beans.
And yes.
And I was going to tell you, Devon, I just uncovered, so if you want to come to Madrid, I just uncovered, I think, 5 rolls of medium format film. I think it's 3 black and white and then 2, I think it might be Portra. I have to look and see, but I have some rolls of film if you come.
Nice.
Hold tight. I'm on my way.
You just said the magic works.
Because TSA is disrespectful to film, so if I can get over there and there's already film waiting for me, I'm on my way.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It's here.
Oh, see, he knows how to tempt me.
Oh, yes, he does.
It's just like, I have film.
and I know where all the old cameras are hidden, so you can give new life to all these poor derelict cameras over here.
Yes. Oh, man, see. All right. So, plane ticket purchase today. Check. Put that on my to-do list.
Just sell one print and you're good, man. Come on.
I know, right? The price has just gone up to 10,000. 10,000. Yes. We're flying first class.
Right, exactly.
Hilarious. And as always, you can find me at devonwarrenphoto.com. That's devonwarrenphoto.com. And I'm Devon Warren Photo on all social media. And you can find Clay on OnlyFans.
I'm gonna give you information
for your OnlyFans, Clay.
Signing up right now, full moon.
Full moon on OnlyFans.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's not a bad idea. Now, you can find me at cwdailyphotos.com. And you can find me at cwdaily everywhere that matters. If it doesn't matter, I might be there, but I might not respond as quickly.
Awesome. But thank everybody for listening. And yes, this project will not be happening for Clay. Don't worry about it. I owe it to the world.
There might be one fan. Come on. The only fan. Yeah. The one only fan. There you go.
Your only fan. You're your only fan. Yes.
You're super niche. Super niche. I mean,
super niche. Yeah. Super niche market. Yeah. Oh, man.
Now, thanks so much, Aaron, for jumping on again. It was good talking. This is, you know, honestly, I think you guys have gotten me, we'll find out, but I'm gonna walk into one of these spaces that has a spot for me to exhibit, even if it doesn't look like it's a typical spot. I'm gonna say, hey, Prince, put up. Thanks, I'm out.
Talk to him like a caveman.
Yes. This is good. This is good.
I think you should do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely do. I highly encourage it.
Nice. I'm gonna. The thing is that, so let's say if you, just a quick question, if you have a space that is kind of low end coffee shop, and you're not really having an actual gallery meeting their exhibit, would it be weird if you put like a $5,000 print in their shop?
Possibly, depending on, like, I mean, I guess you got to know your audience. Yeah. So
I might be insulting them.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if it's, you know, if it's like a low income area, like, yeah, a, yeah.
Okay. So
you know,
read the room.
Their thing is 99 cent coffee. I don't think it's a good idea to put anything up there for 5,000. It may not be there when you come back.
It's a good point. So,
you know, the owner might be like, yeah, I don't know what happened. It was there one day.
Can I frame this with bulletproof glass, please? Just in
exactly.
Case.
Yeah. But if they're selling like artisanal coffee and teas and stuff, yeah, you might get a person that comes in and, you know, that buys $8 and $9 coffee and tea.
And then when this happens, do you give like this? I guess you make a deal and say, hey, the shop owner gets 40% or something like that.
Well, yeah, like so with restaurants and stuff, you say you threw up in a local restaurant and you're like, you know, the print is $700, you could split it with the owner. Mm-hmm. You know, depending, you could work a deal. I mean, they're giving you the space, so you're like, hey, we can either split this or we could, you know, you can give them a portion, mm-hmm. you know, 25, whatever you guys agree on. But that's usually how it works because they are giving you free space. Yeah. And then usually it'll have a little, before QR codes, they used to have a price on it. Mm-hmm. And then if somebody wants it, they literally just take it off the wall and let them take it home.
True.
You know, or tell them to come back and grab it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, it's easy ways. And like, if you have stuff that you can print and just go to like a local craft store, throw it in a frame and ask somebody to hang it up for you.
Yeah.
You know, it'll work. And if nothing else, it's free advertising.
Yeah.
You know, make a little nameplate, so-and-so photography, some way to contact you. Mm-hmm. And somebody may hit you up like, hey, I saw your picture, you know, and then the question always becomes, do you do this? Do you have anything else? I was looking for this. So it's free advertising that you wouldn't have gotten. And, you know, it's kind of like the back end payment,
true,
you know, for the restaurant.
Yeah, true.
If it sells.
Very good.
And they usually give you a time. And you can be like, all right, we'll leave this up for a month. If it doesn't sell, I'll bring you something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's nothing, you know, they're not doing any work. You know, they're just, you're doing everything.